And I read from John's Gospel, and John's Gospel was probably written in Ephesus in the last century, in the first century. And it's a familiar reading because, of course, it's the reading that's usually read at the last reading in a carol service, isn't it? And we're familiar with that. But I was reading John's Gospel just a short while ago. And as we know, it's very different from the other Gospels. And in the first chapter, I took it that John was saying, let me introduce you to my friend, Jesus. John's aim was to bring people to faith in Jesus, as he tells us later on in his Gospel. And he tells us all sorts of things, telling us who Jesus is. When I was reading this first chapter a little while ago of John, I became quite excited by all the things John says and chooses to say about Jesus. I thought, this is really great. He's describing Jesus. Isn't this fantastic? And as I say, I got quite enthusiastic, began to write things down. And so let's start with the very first thing that John says. Jesus is the Word of God from the very beginning. He's God's voice, God's wisdom, and was there at creation. Jesus was there creating the universe that we know, the galaxies, the stars, the planets, black holes even, and our earth, our world, and the living things in our world. God made all things through him. So Jesus was sort of like the channel, as John says, that God worked through to bring into existence all the things that we see in the universe. And what an amazing creation it is. We can look at the tiniest little flower, we can look at the tiniest little insect that we don't like, but they're all there and it's part of God's creation. But we look at the other night, the stars were so brilliant with the clear, frosty sky. And you looked at them, you saw these, you know, just fantastic stars across the sky. And just thought, God made all that. He created it all. And whether it's billions and billions and billions of miles away, or whether it's the moon, really close, it was still God's creation. And John's telling us, the Word brought all of this into existence. And we know, even just our human words, how much effect they can have. But Jesus' words from God had infinite, infinite more effect. So, God made all things through him as the Spirit then breathed life into creation. When God spoke, his voice brought life into existence in the world through Jesus, the Word God speaks to people. So, Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Creator. Then, John tells us, the Word brought light into our world. Jesus' life shone out and continues today against the darkness of a world which still fails to recognize him. And we're again very familiar with the words of Jesus as the light of the world. In verse 14, John tells us that the Word, Jesus, became a human being. Because up to now, he's just been telling us about the Word as a name. Now, Jesus became a human being, full of grace and truth. John establishes Jesus as a human being, like all of us. He walked on this earth, he ate his meals, he had friends, and he was very evidently a human being. So, Jesus is a human being on earth. But then, John goes on to say that Jesus received glory as the Father's only Son. So Jesus, as the Father's Son, is God. He is God. So Jesus is both human and divine. And that's an almost impossible thing to understand. But we need to trust, and we trust in him. A bit later on, which I didn't read, in verse 29, when John the Baptist sees Jesus coming towards him, he says, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We all know Jesus was crucified at the time. separation from God. In Old Testament times, God accepted the death of a lamb as a substitute for the death of a person, giving that person forgiveness. Jesus was to die, to give his life once and for all, sacrificed like a lamb for human sin throughout the ages. We have to accept this to receive forgiveness. Jesus is the Lamb of God. John, as author of this gospel, tells us about the first of Jesus' disciples later in chapter 1. Two of John's disciples, John the Baptist's disciples, were with John the Baptist when he pointed out Jesus, telling them, "There is the Lamb of God." These two men, one of them is Andrew, but we don't know the name of the other one, were really interested and started to follow Jesus. On listening to Jesus, Andrew is excited. What he hears is so good, he goes to his brother Simon to share the news. Andrew tells Simon, "We have found the Messiah, God's chosen one." Then he took Simon to Jesus. They asked Jesus, "Where do you live, Rabbi?" And again, as we know, Rabbi means teacher. They are told by Jesus to stay with him and they will find out. So they did. So we've got Jesus as the Messiah, the teacher, the chosen one. Next day, Jesus calls Philip to follow him. Philip goes to find Nathanael and tells him, "We found the one Moses wrote about in the book of the law, and also whom the prophets wrote about." So in verse 49, we see Nathanael sees Jesus, and Jesus tells him, "You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." So, a couple more descriptions of Jesus. He's the King of Israel. He also calls himself the Son of Man. What an introduction to Jesus from John. There are so many more descriptions of Jesus, of who he is, the miracle maker, healer, and along with that, we know Jesus is Creator, Word, Lamb of God, Chosen One, Teacher, Light of the World, Son of God, the one whom Moses and the prophets wrote about. So this is Jesus. And I, reading it, got really excited. I thought these facts and information about Jesus are so great. And so now we're going to sing How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds. All those four descriptions of Jesus in that hymn. I could have gone on and on and on, couldn't I? Because there's so many things in that. And reminding us of who Jesus is to each one of us. You know, shepherd, brother, friend, prophet, priest, king, my Lord, my life, my way, my end. Accept the praise I bring. Fantastic, isn't it? And I only just picked out a few things that were in the first chapter of John's Gospel, but there is so much more there. Now, as I've already said, as I was reading John's Gospel a while ago, I was getting quite interested in all these descriptions of Jesus. And as we've already, in a sort of academic sort of way. And there are many more descriptions of Jesus, as we've sung in that hymn, and there are many others in Scripture to be discovered. But we probably would have all gone to sleep if I'd gone on much longer. Because, you know, sleep sometimes wins, doesn't it? If there's something, it's the TV I sleep in front of mostly. I'll sort of go to sleep, news or something gets boring, and then suddenly I wake up thinking, "Where am I?" So, but we don't do that in church. Of course not. We try and concentrate on what the Lord is saying to us. Then, a sudden thought. And the Lord challenged me. And this is what I really want to share. You seem to say, you've got lots of information and you're fascinated by information and knowledge. But it is that's all very well, but what Jesus wants is a relationship with us. It's only when we have this relationship that our lives are changed. So I know a few things about people in authority, let's say, or the media. But I don't have a relationship with them. We may know something about people like, let's say, King Charles, We read about him in the paper, we see him on the TV sometimes. We know some things about him. We know an awful lot of things, if we bother to remember, about TV stars and TV personalities. I don't think I need to know anyway. When you go to a quiz or something like that, and they're asking all these questions, there's so many of them about, you know, who was in what, and what did, and I found the clue. If you ask these really interesting questions, I can probably answer them. But to me, I'm not worried about those, you know, people who have a job to do and get on with it. And, but, you know, authors and, let's say, politicians, we'll probably never meet many of them. And without a personal relationship with them, they're not going to change anything in our lives. Very, very unlikely. We may even say we like them. But that is no personal relationship. Many years ago, my father, and he was a librarian throughout his life, but my father was a librarian, so a nice booky sort of person. And he eventually ended up being the librarian at the Army Staff College, based in Camberley, if not now, it's in Shrivenham. But he was the librarian, and he taught about their library, and he did a lot of work there. He was a civilian, but he was a directing staff, so he was up with the other, you know, all the military staff, because of what he was doing, even though he was a civilian. Now, Monty couldn't cope with communicating, Montgomery, couldn't cope with communicating with anybody who at the staff college was an ordinary civilian. So all the letters that Monty did address to my father over a period of time, he addressed to him as Lieutenant Colonel White. Now, he wasn't a Lieutenant Colonel, my father, he never reached that rank, but, you know, Monty couldn't cope with that. But anyway, that's an aside. The point of trying to say this is that eventually, Dad, my father, got the library all up to date and all fantastic, all sorted out and everything else. And the Queen, Queen Elizabeth II, was invited to open it. And so at home, there's a lot of nice pictures of my father standing upright and everything else, looking very pleased with Queen Elizabeth II, and then various military people with all their military brass and all the rest. But even though my father had met the Queen, had worked with her in this opening of the library at the Staff College, he still didn't really have a relationship with her. You know, probably if you'd asked her a couple of years later, do you remember who that librarian was? I suspect that, you know, that would have gone, she's got lots more things, so I don't think so. But well, interesting, but a relationship with people and with the Lord is important. In the Old Testament, and we could quote loads of people in the Old Testament, couldn't we? Nebuchadnezzar knew a lot about the God of Daniel and his friends, as he saw what God did to protect them. And after the various incidents that we read about in Daniel and Daniel's book, we see that at the end of it all, when it worked out all right for Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when we see that it all worked out fine, the king, Nebuchadnezzar, or King Darius, told the people, God is great. The God of Daniel and his friends must be respected and feared and worshipped. But this instruction didn't even change their lives, because they didn't come to know God personally. And of course, as we know, Nebuchadnezzar soon went back to his old ways and worshipped other gods. There are others in our lives, our friends and families. We know a lot about them and have a relationship with them. We spend time with them. We may listen to their advice and give them advice. They might not want it, but we might still do so. They're there when we need them, and we will be there for them as well. We like to be with them in person, or on the phone, or meet up and chat and talk about everything and everything. And this is what Jesus wants from us, a commitment to a relationship with him that changes our lives. When he called his disciples, he wanted commitment from them, companionship on his journey of ministry on earth and ongoing after he had gone back into heaven, time of the Ascension. Jesus loves each one of us. He's forgiven our sins. We come to him to give our lives to him and receive all he has for us. He has so much more for us. He's always there, and we can receive his peace. We spend time getting to know Jesus personally as we read the Bible, pray, and meet together to praise and worship him. As Jesus is with us by our side, then we should be excited, as excited about his love as the early disciples who hurried to introduce others to him. Now, knowledge is useful because it supports our relationship. Relationship with Jesus is more important because it changes our lives to be more like him day by day. We've been forgiven. We have information about Jesus, who Jesus is, but we also have a relationship with him. In verse 12 of our passage, John tells us that some people did receive Jesus and believe in him. So he gave them the right to be God's children. We are God's children, so we are able to introduce others to him by what we do, what we say, and how we live our lives. What does this mean for us? We need to keep close to Jesus, the Saviour of the world. Think back to earlier, when we thought about Andrew fetching Simon and Philip introducing Nathaniel to Jesus. Andrew and Simon, as we've already said, wanted to know where Jesus lived and spent the rest of that day with him. And they became his disciples throughout his life. Philip and Nathaniel had a conversation with Jesus, and when Jesus revealed that he knew a lot about Nathaniel, this made him realize that Jesus is the Son of God, King of Israel. But Jesus asked Nathaniel, "Do you believe just because I told you that I saw you sitting under the fig tree? You will see much greater things than this." Andrew and Simon, whom we know as Peter, Philip and Nathaniel all followed Jesus and became his disciples and friends. Again, not just information, but a relationship. Throughout the Psalms, we read the testimony of the psalmists of their relationship with God. They can say good and bad things about how they feel. God accepts it all because it is part of our relationship with him. In the end, our relationship with Jesus is stronger and flourishes throughout our lives. He's blunt, whichever of the psalmists is writing here. He is blunt in what he says. And I'm going to read a little bit from Psalm 73, and it will be verse 21. So Psalm 73 and 21, and this is what the psalmist said, and it's expressing how he feels and what's going on in his life. So he says, this is able to pour it out to God and tell God all about it. It's a relationship. "When my heart is grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yes, I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me through your counsel. And afterwards, you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." And I think it's great how the psalmist records in that particular psalm how he was feeling and it was a relationship. And he came through that, something that was quite negative, telling us how bad he was, to, "Yeah, but I still trust in you, God." That is the relationship, not just knowledge. So, we believe and trust in Jesus. We know and love him. We can introduce others to Jesus in the same way as John the Baptist did, Andrew and Philip did, Not easy, but what we say, what we do, how we live our lives means we can introduce people to our friend Jesus, who is Lord, Saviour and God. We can rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to do this. I once had an idea, hasn't ever come into existence yet. I do have ideas sometimes, not always, but sometimes. And it was that we should have a romp effort. Yes, I know, I'm not going to expect you to run around the church, don't worry, we're not going romping like that. But romp meant to me, reach one more person. So if each of us did that, and that person became a Christian, then that's two of us. If the two reach out to one more person, that's a bit more romping, and then that's four who could decide to follow Jesus and so on. Our task is to introduce people to our friend, to a relationship with him. But it's the Holy Spirit that does the work in people. The Holy Spirit works in people that they should be following Jesus and accept his forgiveness and new life. We don't need to feel guilty, because that's the other thing. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us to be bold in reaching out to others. Now, we're going to have another reading, and I'm going to take this from the easy to read version. It's easy to read then, you see, so that's a good idea, isn't it? And it's also in lovely big print. Unfortunately, this particular one, particular edition, went out of print a little while ago, and people in our groups like No Limits and things weren't able to get a copy, and which obviously is much easier for them to read. But somebody somewhere kindly gave a large donation to the printers, and it's back in print again. So if anybody wants one, you can get it now. You've got one, I know. Yeah, so Kev and so far. So yes, several people have got one. So I'm going to read this, and now I need some accomplices here. So come on, Tim, please. And Lizzie, could you come here as well, please? And this bit of card at home. Things like that really useful. Go on, Lizzie, I want you to hold it so that everybody can see it, please. Tim, come around the other side, please. Come around. Could you need to be down? You're fine there, Lizzie. Tim, come around and sort of stand just in front of the communion table there. Jesus, the next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. And he saw Jesus walking by. John said, "Look, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, so they followed Jesus. So the two disciples almost certainly were Andrew and were Andrew's friend, or we don't call him Andrew's friend. So Lizzie, you'll have to hold that very, very firmly. Tim, you stick that underneath where Jesus is. Okay? Thank you. And then we've got Andrew's friend. This isn't all in scripture. This is just me talking. But it's what's there. We'll pick it up again in a moment. So, Tim, would you also stick Andrew's friend on? You hold it nice and firm. Hold the board nice and firmly. Let's see, please.
Yes.
So, the two disciples heard him say this. So, they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following. He said, "What do you want?" Not like that. They said, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" And Rabbi, if you know, means teacher. "Come," he replied, "you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying. They spent the rest of the day with him. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Andrew was Simon Peter's brother. Andrew was one of the two disciples who had heard what John had said, and he also followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did, though, was to find his brother, Simon. And so he went off to find Simon, and he said, "We found the Messiah." Messiah means Christ, and he brought Simon to Jesus. Jesus Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas." And Cephas means Peter or rock. So we put, have you put Peter up? Yes, good, good. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon." The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." So there we are, there's Philip. So Jesus asked Philip to follow him. Leave a bit of space, because we've got a few more bits we've got there. Philip was from the town of Bethsaida. So were Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We've found the one whom Moses wrote about in the law. The prophets also wrote about him. And he is Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. And Jesus saw Nathanael approaching. Here is what Jesus said about him. "He is a true Israelite. Nothing is at him is false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were sitting under the fig tree. I saw you there before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You'll see greater things than that." Then he said to his disciples, "What I'm about to tell you is true. You will see heaven open. You'll see the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man." And Jesus calls all of us to follow him. So, you've got that list, Tim? There we are. There's Jesus and all of these people. You should be able to get it down there somewhere. No, you don't think you know, you don't get that. Okay. It all fitted in just now, so I think it will again. So I think we're all right. Well, when I prepared it, it will fit it in. So you see, that could go on, and it's gone on and on and on. People introducing Jesus to people to have a relationship with him. So, what am I saying? We should try to reach one more person. We should try to have a romp. And I like the idea of that. It just sort of appeals to me. So, our last little bit here, reach one more person. Have a romp, and that can go on there as well. Thank you, Tim. Right, thank you, Lizzie. How did that go down?
It went very well.
Good, good. Oh, that looks fine, doesn't it? So, I think we can probably persuade that to stick up there for the moment, can't we? If it falls down, don't. Okay, so my little visual aid there. Now, where do we go from here? Here we are. There may be somebody here who has lots of knowledge of Jesus, but doesn't actually know him, doesn't actually have a relationship with him. Perhaps feeling that attending church is sufficient. A long time back, and Alan will probably remember this, there were two elderly gentlemen who attended church. And with two other people, I organised, with our minister's approval, about a 5-week course. And a few of us older people, retired, say, got together, and we had this session, about 5 sessions, just telling people about having a relationship with Jesus. And at the end, both of these people, these gentlemen, committed their lives to Jesus, accepted his salvation, and of course they grew to love Jesus more and more. Both were baptized, even though they were elderly, and have since gone to heaven, knowing that they were going to meet Jesus. If you feel like these two men and want to make a change, then I'm sure there are plenty of people in this fellowship who would be willing to pray with you, to introduce you to a personal relationship with your friend Jesus and our friend Jesus. And I'm sure
that there are, as I say, people who would be prepared to pray with you. So, where do we go? We've done, looked at all the names of people and everybody else there. And so I think, at our closing hymn, I wanted us to sing a hymn of rejoicing, a lovely hymn that reminds us of God's beautiful creation. And so we're going to sing 506, which is, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder. And again,